We've been preaching for a few weeks on a series titled, You Have a Gift. All right, and we've been really looking at the fact that God created each of us with gifts. He created you with special gifts. And then the next week, we talked about the fact that he has even more gifts than what he created you with. He has spiritual gifts that he wants to give you. And if you were here last week, you'll remember we said this is kind of like that, wait, there's more. And some of you were like, yes, I like it when there's more, right? Who here likes getting a good deal? Who doesn't like a good deal? Two for one, right? Half price. Like, okay. But God has amazing things, and he wants to pour out and give you gifts. And today, we're going to look at something really important, and it's this. How do I know what my gift is? Or what is my gift? We've been talking about the gifts. You're created with them. God wants to give you Holy Spirit gifts. But maybe some of you here today, I'm like, I don't know what my gift is. Well, you're in the right place because we're going to help you figure it out. We're going to give you some scripture. We're going to give you some pointers. And you are going to be able to figure out what your gift is. And some of you already are working in your gift. You just didn't know it was your gift. So we're going to talk about those things today, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every person has a gift. And 1 Peter 4:10 is the verse that tells us that. It says, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. All right, how do I know what my gift is? Let me give you 4 points that are going to help you figure out your gift. Because by the way, let me say it right from the get-go, your challenge this week is going to be to write down at least one gift you have. If you already know one gift, then you're going to write a second gift. That's your challenge this week. And you're like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. And yes, you are. It's not that complicated. Here's the first point. How do I know what my gift is? What has God put on your heart? Or another way of putting it, what are you already passionate about? Okay, let me read a scripture to you about a lady in the book of Acts. Acts 9:36 says, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. Now, let me explain the rest of the story. So Dorcas is a very kind lady, and apparently she helps the poor and she makes clothing for people. She passes away, and at that time, they were like, you know what? We heard about this Peter guy, and people get raised from the dead. You know, they follow Jesus, and why don't we call him and see if he'll come pray for her, even though she's already ready for burial. They put her in an upstairs room. They called for Peter. Peter shows up, and when he gets there, the place is filled with people, widows, poor people, and the widows are showing everybody, she made these clothes for me. She gave them to me. Everybody knows who this lady is because she lived in her gift. She was fully into her gift of kindness, and she blessed people everywhere. They all knew who she was. Peter came in, and it says he sent them out, and then it says he kneeled down, and he began to pray. And then he looked over at Dorcas, and he used her name, and he said, Tabitha, get up. He took her by the hand, and she came back to life. She got up. And it said that everybody knew about this. And that area says that many people believed in Jesus. In other words, many people knew who she was, and it made a difference. When I read this story, I find this amazing. Here, often when we speak of gifts, we're thinking of gifts that everybody sees. You know, the preacher's up there, he's got a gift to preach. The worship team, they've got a gift to worship. It's noticed, but what about the unnoticed gifts? Well, unnoticed to us, but noticed everywhere. You see, Dorcas' gift was not on a platform, but she was known by everybody in the area. And when she passed away, everybody knew. When she came back to life, everybody knew. And that brings me to something, a question for us. Now, maybe this question might seem a little grim, but think about it for a minute. If you passed away this week and, you know, they called up a board member and the board member prayed for you and you came back to life, would it create a revival and people come to Christ? Or would they be like, who? I don't have a clue who that is. Oh, that's the guy that sits at home and watches TV and he's never interacted with anybody. He doesn't know what his gift is. Ouch. Think about it for a minute. Are you fully using your gifts in a way that people know you have a gift and care? Because I believe that we should be making such a difference in our community that if we, let's not be so grim, if we move far away, there's going to be a difference. They're going to be like, where did that person go? I know if I moved away, the people at Walmart would wonder what happened because I'm there all the time. Like, they'd be like, where did he go? Okay, that's not a gift, but you get the point. How are we using our gifts? Because I believe that God has given you a gift and he wants you to know what it is. Your gift will be something you're already passionate about. We talked about this actually last night. I was kind of being like, I don't know if playing video games would be a gift. But I said, you know what? If you're so passionate about tech and online, it could be a gift. What you're passionate about, you will see in your life already. Even if you were not a believer, the gift in you will also, you'll be passionate about. And I want to say this so you understand. Sometimes for people who were, you know, in the past, they weren't serving God and they were just going crazy. There still was a gift they're passionate about, but the enemy maybe was trying to veer it off to something not healthy, but it's still a gift. So your gifts will be something you are passionate about and love to do, not because you have to, because you want to. So this brings me to an important point about gifts. Your gifts that God has given you, they're your gifts, and God can choose whatever gifts he wants. And as we mentioned last week, he has gifts that maybe weren't needed even in his time, like the tech coordinator gift. That wouldn't have been needed in Jesus' day. He needed fishermen. You know, so your gifts he can give to you today because they're needed today. All right? Lead guitar players. Jesus didn't have a single lead guitar player. I'm just saying. Like, but hey, this is our day and age. This is our world. And this is how we worship. God says, I'm going to give you a gift because I want you to be a part of reaching others. So God has given you a passion for something. Do you know what it is? Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we read about another person in Scripture, and he also had a gift that wasn't on the stage. It says, for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Barnabas, which he was known by, was actually a nickname, and it just meant he is an encourager. Every time they saw Barnabas coming, they knew they were going to get encouraged. I don't know if you've met people like that in your life, but they are the people you are glad to see coming. And then maybe there's the complainers or the people that are always mad at you, and you see them coming, you're like, oh boy, here we go. But when Barnabas showed up, the disciples were like, oh man, it's Barnabas. He's going to come, he's got a word of encouragement, and he's probably going to ask us what we need so he can help out. Because he's an encourager. What a gift! A gift so amazing that it's mentioned in Scripture for all of us to read about. You see, Barnabas was the kind of person who wanted to build others up. And if you've ever had someone like that in your life, you are like, thank you, Lord. We need those kind of people. What about you? Maybe you have that gift. If you're an encourager, you have the gift of encouraging, make sure you don't let life get you bitter and turn you sour, because people need your gift. They need encouragers. We need encouragers. You see, Barnabas didn't just speak encouragement, he also acted on it by, you know what, these disciples need some help. I'm going to sell a piece of land. I'm going to help them out. But not only that, he helped people. You see, Paul, who was also named Saul, went on to Damascus and he ended up meeting with Jesus. He was going to kill Christians. He met with Jesus. He's over in Damascus and he starts preaching right away about that Jesus is definitely the Messiah. But it's actually quite a while before he ever comes to Jerusalem. According to Paul's words, about 3 years before he comes to Jerusalem. But he's been ministering, and Jerusalem, the disciples have heard, but they don't believe. They're like, I don't think so. I think this guy's just playing. We don't want to see him. Nobody tell him where we are. And along comes Barnabas. He's like, I've heard this guy. I've heard him in Damascus. He's real. This is a real deal. He brings him. He talks to the disciples for Paul, and he says, you need to let this guy do what he does. Bring him in. Don't shut him out. An encourager. Have you ever spoken up for somebody else? Have you ever stood up for someone and said, hey, this person's for real? I believe if we want to fully use our gifts, no matter what they are, we can't be selfish. We can't only be thinking of us. And so Barnabas allows Paul to stand up and begin to use his gift. Standing up for others is important. What about your gift? Are you willing to stand beside others? Are you willing to be that encourager? Do you care about the people God's put in your life? What's your gift? Use it. And I can tell you this, whatever your gift is, and I'm going to say it again, you can't be selfish with it. Gifts were not given for you to hoard or keep for yourself. Your gift is going to be something you're passionate about, and Barnabas was passionate about building others up. Did you know that Barnabas ends up being sent out on mission with Paul? He ends up being a mentor for Paul. Even though Paul's already done some ministry, Barnabas goes with him and gives him some ideas and helps him out. He's that guy always encouraging, always behind. And you know, later in the ministry, Paul would be ready to go on his own. And it says he and Barnabas had a disagreement that was so sharp, they went separate ways. But Barnabas had encouraged and poured in, and Paul went on his way, and Barnabas found another person to encourage and build up. Isn't that cool? So what about you? What's your gift? Are you willing to build others up? Are you willing to use what you're passionate about? You see, the second point I want to get to today is this. You'll be passionate about your gift. So what is my gift? What are you already passionate about? Write some of those down. Figure it out. Your gift will also be something you're good at or that comes easy for you. Okay? You enjoy it and it comes easy. Your gift is not going to be something you hate. It's not going to be something you're like, oh, this is terrible. So, parents, I want you to understand this as well. Your kids, some parents want their kids to have a gift that they want. But your kids are going to have gifts that they have, and you need to figure it out. Don't try to push them into what you want. I've met a parent or two that, you know, wants their kid to be the next NHL hockey player. Man, if your kid hates skating, stop it. It's going to be something they already enjoy. It's going to be something that comes easy to them. David, in Scripture, we hear that he was a skilled musician. And let me read the Scripture and we'll go from there. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 17. All right, Saul said, find me someone who plays well and bring him here. One of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war. He has good judgment. He is also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. So back up so you understand what's happening. King Saul has had the Lord kind of leave him. He ends up that he has a spirit that troubles him. And his advisors that are close to King Saul says, you need to find someone who can play well, who's skilled, who's anointed. Bring him in, and when he plays, the spirit that's troubling you will leave. Music is a beautiful thing. Worship music is a powerful, amazing thing. And anointed worship music ushers in the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes in, every other spirit has to leave. And they knew that. And so they're looking for someone. And one of his advisors say, I know somebody. His name's David. And not only is he a skilled musician, he's brave, he's courageous, he doesn't mind a good fight, and he has integrity, he's good looking, and the Lord is with him. And by the way, you don't have to be good looking to use a gift. David just happened to be. I just thought I'd better throw that out there. Some people may be like, what? So, but look at the other one, skilled, courageous. I believe you have to be courageous to use any gift. You can't be fearful. If you're fearful, you don't use your gifts because you're afraid it might not work. Not afraid of a battle. Anytime you decide you really want to do something great, there'll be some fight. The enemy doesn't just sit back and let you do whatever God wants you to do. Again, looks doesn't matter. David just happened to be good looking. But I missed the good judgment. That means integrity. If you have a gift and you want to be able to use it and grow in it, you're going to need integrity. Without integrity, no matter what your gift are, people put you on the back burner because they're like, you can't trust them. We don't know what they're going to do next. That's a lack of integrity. You got to have integrity. And of course, the Lord needs to be with you. You want your gift to truly be effective, allow God to work through you in it. All right, so skilled. It's something you will be good at. It's something you will enjoy. David didn't just suddenly decide he was going to practice and be a good musician because the king was looking for somebody. He spent his life worshiping God out in the field with sheep, playing the harp, singing worship songs to God. And when he wasn't singing worship songs, he was practicing with that slingshot. I'm going to hit that tree right there. His first few times, he's like, oops, that's a sheep. But anyways, he got better and better because he did it all the time because he enjoyed it. Anyways, I grew up on a farm. We had sheep. Sheep kind of go together. And in David's day, those sheep, there was no fences. So they'd go out where the grass was green. And you sit there and watch the sheep eat. You know, unless there's a wolf or a bear or something comes, but most days it's watching sheep eat. And so he had time to worship. He had time to do the things he loved. He became skilled long before he went to that position. Isn't that amazing? What about you? Do you use your gifts and your passion already? What are you passionate about? If you're waiting for something to just drop down from heaven and be completely different, stop for a minute. It's going to be something you're already good at, something you enjoy. And you're like, yeah, but the stuff I enjoy, I don't think God could use. You're wrong. I don't know what it is you enjoy or passionate about, but I guarantee he can use it. And even if it's slightly off course right now, he can bring it into line with what he wants. What's your gift? What's your passion? There's nothing that's off the table. That's what I want to say. Because guess what? Your challenge is this week. You're going to find out what your gift is. And you're going to write it down and you're going to see, how can I use this for the Lord? 1 Chronicles 25, verse 6, we see that David does this first little stint of helping King Saul. But at that time, King Saul doesn't even know that David will be the next leader. We're jumping way ahead in this story, but David becomes the next leader, and he is passionate about people worshiping the Lord in his temple. And in those early days, it was actually a big tent set up with the gold walls and everything in there, and he wanted people to worship. So David appoints skilled musicians to worship continually. It's 1 Chronicles 25, 6. Their music ministry included playing cymbals, harps, zithers. All were under the direction of their father as they performed this ministry in the tabernacle. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman reported directly to the king. They and their families were all trained in singing praises to the Lord. Each one, 288 of them in all, was a master musician. David says, we're finding people in this kingdom who can worship, and we're going to have worship going 24 hours a day. Now, you can read through it, 288 people. There was 24 teams of 12, and they had sections. In other words, 12 people worshiped for an hour, and then the next 12 got up and worshiped for an hour, and the next 12, and the next 12, all 24 hours long. But David chose people who were passionate and skilled. Isn't that cool? What's your gift? What's your gift? Use it for the Lord. And David said, hey, we need people who are good at this, skilled at it. Let me say this for a minute. Practice and use of what you're already gifted in will cause you to become skilled. I don't want to go too much into that because next week we're really going to go into how to use your gifts. But when you have a gift, you already enjoy it and it comes easy, okay? So if you hate math, don't become an accountant. All right, like don't, like that's stupid. Well, I heard accountants make this much money. If you already don't like it your whole life, that's not your gift. Now, if you're someone who does math in your spare time just for fun, become an accountant. It's your gift. Listen, your gift is going to be something you enjoy. You see, David chose people to worship the Lord at all levels, including leadership levels. And by the way, just to make sure you're not confused, not once did he mention how they looked. Okay, I just want people to be aware of that. Your gift doesn't matter how you look. I mentioned this the other day. Some people worry too much about how they look, and it just that's not your focus. Church, there are too many excuses why not to find and use your gift. Everybody has an excuse. Well, I would, but I just want to wait until I lose 25 pounds. Well, I would, but, you know, I just want to wait till things are a little bit smoother in my family. 25 years later, you're still waiting. Oh, well, I would use my gift, but you know, well, I got teenagers right now, and what's your excuse? Oh, I'd get involved at church, but oh, I'm just so shy. Oh, now we're really going too far, aren't we? I'm just so shy. Did you know that shy is another word for fear? It's just a nice-sounding word. How dare the enemy cause you to be afraid or fearful of people? How dare he? He has no right to. Cause you to be so fearful that you can't use your gift? That's the enemy at work. Do you know how you overcome fear? It's called faith. Faith requires you to take a step in the direction of your fear and another step in the direction of your fear and another step, and guess what happens? You conquer it. You defeat it. Scripture says fear has torment. Everybody say torment. That's horrible. God doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to be courageous and use your gift. Okay, third point. So I said you would be passionate about it. You'll be good at it, something you like. The third point of how do I know what my gift is? What do people who know and love you say you're gifted at? People who know you and love you. In other words, they know you and love you enough, they will tell you the truth. I remember one time years ago, and I'm not trying to say where or get anybody, so I'll just say long ago, far away. But I remember years ago, and we were on the street, and there was this, I'm going to say 20-something guy, and he had the setup for singing. He had a speaker and a microphone, and he was singing country songs. And he even, I don't know if he had a CD that he burned in his basement yet. But anyways, he was like, you could tell he wanted to be famous. Every song he sang, there was not a note that he hit right. And I was thinking, did he not have parents that cared? Like, did they not at some point tell him, son, we love you. Maybe let's try voice lessons, or maybe let's try hockey. Like, I don't know, somewhere where you don't have to sing. Now, I didn't know him. And I mean, I love everybody, but I wasn't going to go up and say, hey, my friend, you know. But you should, if you love people, tell them you're gifted in this. This is something, go ahead, if you want to work at it and practice, go for it, but you're gifted in this. Parents, find the giftings your children have and help them go in that direction. Don't create your own plan. God's got a plan, and his plan will work with their giftings. So you now, as parents, find the giftings your kids have and guide them. Also, I do want to say this. Sometimes the gift that you have, maybe you don't realize it's a gift yet. So parents, especially for kids, did you know that you can look at a child and say, they are so stubborn. But did you know that stubbornness can be a gift when God's in it? And instead of calling it stubbornness, we call it persistence. Someone who will go and never stop in what God's directed. So remember that if you have a very stubborn child, it's actually a gift if you can guide it. And I want to say this, parents, if you have a very strong-willed, stubborn child, guide them. Pray and ask God, where do I guide them? If you choose to stand in front of them and be like this, you're going to fight for the rest of your life. And at some point, if you don't figure out how to guide them, they're just going to leave, and often too young. Guide them. Guide them. What you think is horrible, I believe often is a gift if you can guide it in the right direction. Okay? Remember that for your kids. Every kid has a gift. Every kid is special. So this week, your challenge is going to be to write down at least one gift you have. If you're a parent, let me add to the challenge, try to write down a gift your kids have. Think about it, because you're going to help direct them in that way. So what do people who love you say that you're good at? There's scripture, John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is a cousin to Jesus, And John the Baptist was a prophet. And by the way, John the Baptist had disciples or followers, because that's how they did it in those days. And John the Baptist goes and says, look, look who's coming. This is his gifting. This is who he is. Behold him. So what about you? Are you willing to call out the gifts in others? See, John the Baptist was more than willing. He understood his mission, and he was even willing to call out the giftings in others, even if they would surpass him. I find out sometimes this is tough for people. Like, yeah, I'll call out the gifting in that person, but they're going to be better than me and take my position. I don't know. I don't know if I want them in my spot, but we need to be willing to call out those gifts no matter what. John 3:29, we'll read that. It says, it's the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. John the Baptist's followers, his disciples come to him, and they're like, Jesus is getting a lot of followers, a lot more than you, John. The other churches across town, they're getting a lot more people than you, Pastor. Awesome. John the Baptist is like, this is good. I am thankful for his success. I am his friend, and he is the one who needs to rise up at this time. Hey, can that be us? Can we be happy when another church is growing? Can we be happy when someone else is suddenly rising up and using their gifts? Yes, we can. Because we know God's raising up people all the time. And if we have that attitude, that selfless attitude of raise them up, God opens doors for us all the time. You have an attitude that says, I'm building others, I'm lifting others. God automatically lifts you. That's the way it works. What did Jesus say? If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what will happen? He will lift you up. Being humble means you're okay with other people coming and rising up and doing what they're gifted at. You see, you have a gift, and maybe you don't know what it is, and maybe the reason you don't know is because you think it has to be something showy or in front of people. I want to just make this clear today. There are so many gifts that nobody sees on the platform. Your gifts are meant for everyday life, not just Sunday morning. Your gifts that he's given you are meant for the world around you, the place where he has put you. And here's the thing on the other side of this. People who don't love you won't tell you the truth and unfortunately might even get jealous of your gift. And that never goes well. Matthew 27:17, we know that the Sadducees, the religious people, became jealous of Jesus. It says so here. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to set free for you? Jesus Barabbas, he was the criminal killer, or Jesus called Messiah? He knew very well that the Jewish authorities had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. Jealousy doesn't call out gifts in others, it crushes them. Someone who is so concerned about their own thing gets themselves turned completely around. The religious leaders were supposed to be God's representatives, teaching people how to get close to God and follow him. And because of jealousy, they became number one workers in the devil's kingdom. Ouch. Jealousy spins things around in a hurry. If you become jealous of somebody at work or in life, you go to the Lord and you repent of it. You say, Lord, forgive me. I do not want to be doing the opposite of what you called me to. Jealousy is just stupid anyhow. It really is. Does it make you better when you're jealous of somebody? I mean, you think about the Pharisees when they go around. He heals somebody. The guy's arm is withered up, you know, and Jesus is like, stretch out your arm, be healed. They can't even get happy about a guy getting healed because jealousy is so blind to them. Instead, they're like, we got to figure out a way to make sure that this is sinful. Because obviously he's messed up because I'm jealous of him and he has too many followers. What? That's stupid. Look what it did to them. It made them have people not want to follow them. They get to be written in the book for all of us to read thousands of years later for what they did. Any jealousy in you, get rid of it. You can't use your gifts with a jealous heart. You can't. Your gifts will be poisoned. They'll be shifted. They'll be used in a wrong way. You can't. So please, church, if you know that you've got envy or jealousy to someone, drop it. You say, well, how? Like, you know, they kind of stuck it in my face. They weren't, like, very good. You know, they bragged about it. I just don't know what to do. Ask the Lord to forgive you and start praying for that person. Start praying that God will do good things for them. You will have to get rid of jealousy to do that. And as you're praying, even if it's a little painful, eventually it will just break. And you'll be like, okay, I can do this. You know, we can take this a little farther. People can be jealous of people. You can also be jealous of another business. Maybe you have a business and you're jealous of somebody else's business, and so you run them down, or you find things in the past that they did wrong, or you're doing everything you can to bring their business down a little bit. Don't do that. It will backfire on you. And once again, rather than using your gifts and succeeding, people will see you as someone who's got issues. Here is my last point about how do I know what my gift is. So what have we said so far? Because remember, this week, you got to write at least one of your gifts. If you know one, I want you to get another one. So first of all, number one, what has God put on your heart that you're passionate about? What are you passionate about already? Number two, your gift will be something you're good at. Number three, what do people you know and love say your gift is? And number four, the last point, your gift will be shown or known by how God has used you in the past, by what you've been successful at in the past, by what you were good at in the past. So you can look back this week in my life, what are things that I have done well that have really gone well? You will have a gift in those areas, okay? So let me give you just a story. I'm not going to go read it for time-wise, but again, it's a story that you guys know well, and it's the story of Joseph. Joseph the dreamer, we all know about him, dreams that he's going to be a great leader one day and that his brothers are going to bow down to him. Now, as a teenager, I would have to say he wasn't that smart, and he decides he's going to brag to his brothers about his dream, and they're like, oh yeah, we love this, we're going to bow to you one day. Do you know how they saw Joseph? He was the younger brother. He was the spoiled brat. And now the spoiled brat is like, you're going to bow to me one day. Oh, shut up. But then a little while later, he has a second dream. And being a teenager, it takes him a while to learn things. So he tells them again. Oh, I had another dream. There was 11 stars and the sun and the moon, and they bowed down to me. And everybody knows the interpretation. You're going to all bow, and so is mom and dad. They hated him, though. They let it get to them. They got jealousy rolling, and they end up selling him as a slave. They're like, we're going to make sure he never, ever fulfills that dream. They sell him as a slave, and they think, well, we're pretty sure that he's not going to fulfill the thing, but guess what happens with Joseph? He is a slave in Potiphar's house, and he does something that I want to encourage you to do no matter where you are. Use your gift. He is a slave. He could have been bitter and angry. His brothers just sold him, but instead he is looking around at how I can use my gift here. Because he's gifted. He's a gifted planner, and he is a gifted leader. He was immature, but he got mature real fast. Getting sold as a slave will do that to you, I think. Don't know. Don't want to ever find out. But what happened? In that situation, that horrible, ugly situation, Joseph looks for opportunities to use his gift. He had to have. They just bought a slave. They know nothing about the guy. And suddenly, we hear that he is leading and overseeing the entire household of this rich guy. That didn't happen by accident. Joseph came in. He's like, hey, I can see, like, your gardens. You know, you want me to hoe weeds. I can do that. But just so you know, I have experience in running a whole crew. I can run your garden crew if you want. Oh, sure, go ahead. And they're like, wow, he's good at running a garden crew. The next opportunity he sees, they're like, do you want to do this? Sure, I love doing this kind of stuff. He's using his gift. Use your gift wherever you're placed. Don't be like, I didn't ever want to come to Slave Lake in this stupid town. I am just going to endure this until I finally get to move. Use your gifts, and God will move you where you need to move. He might keep you here forever at Abundant Life Worship Center. But he may just move you because you're the kind of person who says, I will use my gift. Use your gift right where you're at. Use your gift and God will allow that gift to open doors for you. Don't use your gift and become bitter and yeah, you'll be stuck. But use your gift Use it. Joseph did. He used his gift well. And, you know, it might even seem like, well, what was the point? It didn't do any good because the next thing he's falsely accused and he is in prison. Friends, going from a slave to prison is a demotion, not a promotion. You're doing everything right. You're doing what you're supposed to for God. You're giving it your very best. And now you're in prison. He had every right to go sit in the corner of that prison cell and be like, I hate life. Life is stupid. God's a liar. I hate God. Hey, I've seen people who have given up on the dream that God gave, who have given up on their gifts. Joseph just said, you know what? This is unfortunate. This is an ugly, stinky prison. They didn't have big screen TVs and workout gyms. They were full of filth and stench, and people died in those prisons. And Joseph gets in that prison, and he looks around, and he's like, how can I use my gift? We hear that he is in charge of the entire prison. That didn't just accidentally happen. He looked for opportunities to use his gift. He had to have. People in charge of prisons don't find random people who've been chucked in there and say, oh, why don't you run it? He looked for opportunities, guaranteed. Maybe the first thing was like, hey, you know, I could like arrange for some of the guys around here to like clean out this stinking straw mess in here like once a week if you wanted. Oh, you want to do it? Sure. And he's running the prison. What opportunities have you looked for where you can use your gift? Because maybe people don't know your gift. Maybe people don't know what you're available and can do. If you're in a work situation and you've never got a promotion and you're not, I don't know about work, what's your gift? And don't be afraid to say to the boss, you know, there's something I really love doing and I noticed that there's a gap. You want me to do that? Use your gift. Use your gift. And by the way, if you're working somewhere and you absolutely hate it, you're not working in your gifting. Like, well, I have to pay the bills somehow. Yeah, there's seasons of that. But you start using your gift right there, and you might be in the same place doing something different because you looked for an opportunity to use your gift. So first of all, I'm saying this, how can you even look for an opportunity if you're not sure what your gift is? I think with what I've showed you and brought to you so far, you can actually decide, okay, I think I'm going to figure out my gift and then look for opportunities to use it. You see, Joseph is in the prison using his gift, the best of his abilities, running the entire prison, and a baker and a cupbearer of the Pharaoh end up being thrown in prison. Basically, someone has obviously found out someone tried to poison the king, and now they're going to prove who did it, what's going on. The cupbearer has a dream, and he says, in my dream, I was squeezing grapes into a cup, and the next thing I take the cup and give it to the king, give it to Pharaoh. He says, oh, I'll interpret your dream for you. And I think I could even interpret that dream. I'll just say, you know, like, you're going to be doing your thing. But he gives him the word of God. You're going to be back in a few days serving the king. And the baker's like, oh, what about me? I had a dream too. And in my dream, I had like these baskets of bread and had them on my head. And along came some ravens and ate the bread out of the basket. What does my dream mean? Well, sorry to say there, buddy, but your dream, you're not going to be serving the king. And Joseph talks to the cupbearer and says, hey, when you're back in your position, because he knew God was speaking, he knew he's going back in his position. When you're back in your position, make sure and could you please talk to the Pharaoh and tell him that I was falsely accused. That's why I'm in this prison. The cupbearer goes back, the baker is killed, and Joseph waits. Ooh, it's going to be good, he's thinking. Yeah, a week from now, I'm going to be hearing from Pharaoh. This is good. This is great. 2 weeks pass, a month pass, 6 months pass, a year passes. And Joseph gets frustrated and bitter and goes and sits in the corner of the prison and rots. No, he didn't. But he had every right to. But he didn't. He kept using his gifts. He kept being the best person he could be in the situation he was planted in. When you do that, church, God is preparing you and he is ready to open the door for you to something great. But you can't stop using your gifts where you've been placed. Use them, use them, use them. And the Pharaoh has a dream that he can't interpret. And then the cupbearer remembers 2 years later, there's this guy in the prison. He can interpret dreams. Go get him. And Joseph is called. He interprets the dream, but he doesn't just interpret the dream. He also uses his other gift, interpreting dreams is a spiritual gift, but he interprets the dream and then he uses his other gift, his gift of planning and leadership. Says, so here's my advice, king. Set somebody up over this and you need to save food for 7 years, save this much, get ready for the famine that's going to be 7 years more. He's got a plan already and he just heard the dream. Using his gifts. And the Pharaoh says, well, sounds like you already got a plan, you're hired. He went from the prison to being second in command over the entire Egypt. And for some, you're like, man, I wish I could get a break like that. That's just amazing. Just like suddenly he ends up as second in command. It wasn't suddenly at all. It was a young man who spent years in unfortunate, ugly situations and said, I will use my gift. I will use my gift. I will use my gift. And God said, there's a young man who's learned something. There's a young man who is humble. There's a young man who has been prepared because he used his gift in terrible situations, and now he's ready. Get him out of here. Get him out of this prison. And wouldn't you know it, after the 7 years of good, 7 years of famine come, and guess whose family needed to come to Egypt for food? Joseph's family. And here come his brothers. And guess what the first thing they do when they see him, because he's the guy in charge of handing out food. Because God's never a liar. But friend, you won't see God's vision and plan come forward in your life unless you use your gifts now. So your challenge this week is find your gift and learn to use it. Don't get bitter, don't get sour. Use your gift with joy. And you know what? When it's your gift, it makes you feel good anyhow. It encourages you. It builds you. It fires you up because it's your gift. I've got to wrap this up, and of course, I'm going to wrap it up the way I do. We're talking about gifts. We're talking about God using you. The most important gift that was ever given by the Lord, of course, was the gift of his son, Jesus. He gave that gift that you and I could be forgiven, made right in the eyes of the Father, be made whole, have a life abundantly serving him and a life in heaven for eternity after this. And there's only one way to receive that gift. Only one thing to do with that gift is accept it. And we accept that gift by believing in our heart that Jesus really did die for us and then using words to say it. It's that easy. And so we're going to make opportunity right now for you to use words. If you've never asked Christ to forgive you or come in your life, today's the day. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you guys to repeat this prayer after me. It simply lets you use words. And I'm going to ask all of us to join. So repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen.